I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Final Fantasy, to me, feels so much like Square Enix assigning homework. Mm. And I don't want to do my homework when I'm gaming.
Well, I just don't do it, is my advice.
Hello and welcome to Pocket Buds, a back pocket podcast where I talk to my best buds about video games and stuff. This week, we're talking about Final Fantasy VII. Once upon a time, a little old company called Square created a little old series called Final Fantasy. Put together by a team led by Hironobu Sakaguchi, the 1987 fantasy role-playing game acted as the beginning of a monstrous leading series for Square. Despite the finality of its name, this would not be the Final Fantasy. If I went over the full history of Final Fantasy in this intro, we'd be here for a while. You, the listener, and I, the yapper, would both potentially be dead or dying of old age by the time we got to Final Fantasy X-2. Of course, not to be mistaken with Final Fantasy XII. You understand why I make this reference to Final Fantasy's tendency to create sequels within sequels. Square Enix loves doing this. They absolutely froth it. And there's one entry in the series that is not only beloved by audiences and touted as the best in show, but it's got almost as many entries and spin-offs as Final Fantasy has mainline games. I said it at the start, it's Final Fantasy VII. It all started in 1997. Final Fantasy VII was released for the original PlayStation. Development for the title started in 1994, and the game was actually supposed to come out on the SNES, and then the Nintendo 64. But due to the technical limits of the former and the technical advantages of the CD-ROM, PlayStation won the fight for Square's big, beautiful baby. You follow Cloud Strife, a hippie trying to bring down a mega corporation called the Shinra Electric Power Company with his merry band of eco-terrorists. Bonafide hottie and really bad guy Sephiroth is also there to stop the Flower Brigade from ruining his big plans to become the big dog upstairs. To say this game did well is a huge understatement. Final Fantasy VII is regarded as one of the most influential games ever made, and one of the greatest video games ever made too. It won a bunch of awards and is considered as the driving force for PlayStation sales, and its soundtrack is a primetime slapper. So of course it makes sense why Square Enix decided to milk the ever-loving shit out of this big fat cow. The compilation of Final Fantasy VII is a sub-series set in the world and continuity of the 1997 game. It officially consists of 14 released entries, with extra little bits being set in VII but not an official part of the compilation. By this, I mean a 2005 novella about Aerith called The Maiden Who Travels the Planet and a 2018 VR roller coaster ride at Universal Studios Japan. There's also a few more little short stories and animated adaptations of short stories and another novel about Aerith and Tifa, but I'm not even up to the meat yet. Okay, so first there was Final Fantasy VII, and then in 2004 there was Before Crisis Final Fantasy VII for the FOMA mobile service. And then in 2005 there was the anime movie Last Order Final Fantasy VII and the CGI movie Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, both released on the same day in Japan. Also in that same year was a mobile port of the snowboarding minigame featured in Final Fantasy VII. But then in 2006, the third-person shooter Dirge of Cerberus Final Fantasy VII was released for the PS2. It's important to note that this was critically the compilation's stinkiest release. Then there was Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII in 2007, which follows Zack Fair, who appears in Final Fantasy VII, but is not the main guy. Now he is. This was the last Final Fantasy VII release for the noughties. The only official mainline release in the compilation of Final Fantasy VII for the 2010s was the mobile game Final Fantasy VII G-Bike, released in 2014. Everybody was mad that it wasn't a remake of Final Fantasy VII. It shut down a year later. We are not done. Along came 2020. The Final Fantasy VII remake was released. Critics praised its faithfulness to the original while also expanding on the story. And that's exactly Square Enix's plan for its trilogy covering the original entry. A year later saw Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate released for the PS5, a visually updated and narratively expanded version of the 2020 release. As well, the multiplayer mobile game Final Fantasy VII The First Soldier came out. It was fine. Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII got a remaster in 2022. Unlike Final Fantasy VII Remake, Crisis Core's story remained the same. However, Reunion is the prequel to the Final Fantasy VII Remake trilogy, not the original Final Fantasy VII. Do not get it twisted. We are almost done. Last year saw the release of mobile and PC game Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis, a gacha game that retells the events of Final Fantasy VII, all canon titles in the compilation of Final Fantasy VII, as well as an original storyline focusing on three brand new chuds. And finally, but not actually finally, this year we are getting Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the second installment in the Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's important to note that I haven't played or seen a single entry in this entire sub-series. Thankfully, I know somebody who has played some or most of them. Joining me today to talk about as much of Final Fantasy VII as he possibly can is comedian, one of the hosts of Filthy Casuals, and my good friend, Ben Vanel. Hi, Ben.
Hey! Oh my God, that was an absolute marathon, Ruby. What? Yeah. So I consider myself to be a giant Final Fantasy VII fan. Mm-hmm. Big FF7 head. I reckon I've played about 25% of those games.
Yeah.
And like, as a Westerner, I reckon that's close to as many as it's possible for me to.
Yeah, white man. Yeah. Boo.
I mean, I'm going to Japan in like 3 weeks. Again, white man alert. so maybe I'll be able to play Before Crisis, I think, was a Japan-only release. Yeah. That was on that mobile subscription service, I think, back in the day.
Yes, it was FOMA, but then it was also released for two other mobile services. With I think one of them's called SoftBank and the other one I forgot the name of. So, like, when I approached you and was like, what do you want to talk about? And you were like, oh, Final Fantasy VII, I just played the demo. I was like, okay, work. Like, I know that it got remade. So, all right. Cool. I'll do my research and get back to you because I haven't played it. I haven't played the original. I think I was a Nintendo kid and it came out on the PlayStation and I had the PlayStation 2, but not the PlayStation 1.
Oh no, we're ships in the night because I had a Nintendo. I had the original Nintendo. Then I had a PlayStation 1 and then not a PlayStation 2. And then nothing until I was an adult and could buy my own consoles.
So wait, the PlayStation 1 was your last one?
Yeah. I mean, I bought a PlayStation 3 when I was like, you know, in my 20s.
Damn, so you had like a big gamer break.
Yeah. I mean, I played every game on the PlayStation 1 basically.
Yeah, of course.
And yeah, like Final Fantasy VII is, it's a three discer, it's a hefty game, and so I've played that a bunch of times through, and that is, yeah, like one of those, like you see it now with, you know, Like a Dragon and stuff, this is like between a 60 and as long as you want it to be hour game. Like there's, like I mentioned off air before we started, the chocobo breeding, like there is so much stuff you can do with this game that is not even integral to like proceeding through the main storyline.
Yeah, well, do you remember the first time that you played Final Fantasy VII?
I do. I was a small child. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it came out in 97. I was 10 years old. And I believe the first time I played it, we'd borrowed it from a friend of my dad's.
Yeah.
And I played, like, as much as I could before it was, like, the polite time to give it back to him, which was not very long. It was, like, 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I was locked in. I was fully obsessed. I was not going to dinner when mum called me to dinner. You know, I was fully in and was devastated when we had to give it back. And I just remember being 100% in from the beginning. And then I think probably a birthday or a Christmas present, you know, came around and I finally got to dive back in.
So your first time was a brief experience with the game. And then the second time was, would you say that your second time was your true playthrough?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I only reached, you know, second base on the first time.
Yeah, you only touched the boob of Final Fantasy VII.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But no, I rounded home plate once I owned it. And obviously, listeners can't see this, but Ruby, I'm showing you. This is the original PlayStation 1 copy of Final Fantasy VII that I still have. I still have a PS1. It doesn't really plug into any TV that I own, you know, and I'm not really much of a like games memorabilia person, but that's how much it means to me that I've still got that. Aww. One on my desk.
Have you considered like investing in a CRT TV?
I've considered it, but yeah. I have my limits.
I'm a simple man.
Yeah. I don't want to hook up red and white cables and aerials and things like that.
That shit sucks, man. Fuck that. Yeah.
And it is available. The original like version is available on everything. It's on Steam. It's on like Nintendo Switch. And it has the sort of like 3x speed battle stuff. You can, I think, turn on like invincibility mode, basically. Like there are ways to play it now that are much more convenient than buying a second shit TV that you will only use for one thing.
And how important would you say that Final Fantasy VII kind of is to, I guess, like your gaming history, considering you had that period of no new consoles until you were an adult?
It's massive. It's I think it's big not just in games for me as well. It's also like I'm a big fan of cyberpunk as a genre. You know, I read a lot of that stuff and probably this was my first taste of it. I wouldn't have seen like a Blade Runner or anything until I was a little older. And so even that, like, it was a massive influence on me. And yeah, it's still something that I replay, but it's also something that I recognize the inspirations in, you know, when it comes to newer games as well. So for me, it's massive. And obviously, a lot of people around the world also thought it was pretty sick.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I know the remake is same, but different. How would you kind of compare the two? Because I'm assuming you've played the remake.
Yeah, absolutely. It is less a remake and more like people have called it a sequel. I definitely, you know, we've had that discussion on Filthy Casuals of like, is this a reboot? Is it a legacy sequel? Is it a remake? It's kind of a response. Like it has, I feel like it has the content of the original. So if you never played that OG 97 game and you kind of can't go back to that kind of level of blocky graphics and stuff, you're not missing out on the entire storyline of Final Fantasy VII just playing the remake. But certainly there are some changes and there is a lot of stuff in there that is specifically, I think, a comment on like nostalgia culture and remake culture, because it is, it's different. It's different and it's the same.
Yeah.
Really simple explanation.
Yeah. And so, because in my research, of course, the remake is going to be a trilogy. So does that, I'm going to sound kind of dumb, but so Final Fantasy VII Remake, and then there's Rebirth, and then there's whatever the next one's going to be called, Redo, Revolution. We'll see. We'll see what they go for.
I think Reunion, although that was a subtitle of one of those.
Crisis Core.
Yeah. Which it would make the most sense personally. So they done f***ed up there. But,
yeah, they f***ed up. Well, there's, remake, rebirth, reimagined.
Reimagined.
Re.
Resurrections. Oh, The Matrix has also taken three of them.
Resurrections, Revolution.
Recess?
Recess. And then it's just like the cast of Recess kind of like come in as like five new characters.
Yeah.
That's what I'm freaking squawking about. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
So how much of Final Fantasy VII, like the story of it, is covered in the remake? Is it the full thing or do they kind of go like Cloud will return in Rebirth?
Yeah. It's only like the first 5 hours. So it's not even, it's not even the first disc of the original, which... I did refresh my memory a little bit before today. The third disc of the original is like barely anything. It's like, okay, now here is where the final boss lives and then get to the final boss and fight him. So the first two discs are the bulk of it. But yeah, Remake really only covers like this main crazy cyberpunk city that you start off in and then end of Remake, bang, you're leaving the city, which in that original game is, like two-thirds of the way through the first disc. And this Rebirth installment, it's like open world, massive, packed with mini games. Like, I kind of don't understand how it's possible, like physically, to have done this. I'm
fascinated. Well, the technical advancements of the CD-ROM, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, they had to use it.
Yeah, this was like a whole big thing. This was where Squaresoft and Nintendo broke up. I think that the 64 was meant to have a CD drive. And when Nintendo, they were like, nah, we're going to go with cartridges because that's our thing and it's more whatever. Really good stuff from Nintendo. They didn't miss out on millions of dollars of sales by staying aligned with the CD-ROM and Squaresoft.
It's
all fine. I mean, honestly, it did turn out fine. Yeah, so they squeezed a bunch of stuff onto this second disc in the original, and I just fundamentally don't know how they're going to do it in this, the one that's coming out in a couple of weeks. They've expanded it. It's like the overworld in the original is real, like, not Mario Bros. Overworld, but like, you know, the scale is ridiculous. You're a giant person running from basically a town to a forest to another town. Like, it's not in any way to scale. Whereas this Rebirth, it seems like it's going to be somewhat to scale. I'm so excited.
And with the three CD situation, three disc situation, of course. So when you finish the first disc, does the game tell you, all done, go to the next one? What happens there?
Exactly right. Yeah. It's
okay.
It goes to a little screen, a little holding screen, and it says, please insert disc two. And you get a great piece of like beautiful artwork that was the only place you could see it at the time, you know, pre-internet. Yeah. And you just pop open the slot, the disc, you know, thing on the PlayStation 1, and you swap them over. And you shut the disc and you wait for it to load.
I don't know. Maybe I just haven't played enough games or because I didn't have a PlayStation 1. But, like, I've just never heard of that happening. Like, I know that there are games that have their install discs and then their play discs. Mm-hmm. But that seems like such a not – obviously the only way they could do it with just how large they made the game.
Exactly. But, and there's no storage space on a PlayStation 1. You know, like you just can't install. And I also, you've probably not seen this either, Ruby.
Come on, show it off.
Because you're 3 years old. But on there's a little ad for the memory card.
Oh, yep.
On the back of the manual, which there's also a manual, which you sadly don't get anymore. Mm. So yeah, you had to save your games to a memory card and hope your like dog didn't chew it up or whatever, which definitely happened to a million people.
Well, I will say, although I was 1 year old when Final Fantasy VII came out, and it feels good to say that out loud, I also had a GameCube, and that was kind of like my first console that I was sentient with, you know what I mean? And that had memory cards, and I thought that was neat.
Yeah, right.
I thought that was so cool.
It is cool. Don't get me wrong. It's very cool. I feel like this has come back around the sort of millennial design style. I had one with like a transparent plastic cover so you could see the circuit board. And that was absolutely cool.
Oh, cool as shit around.
It was the talk of the town.
I really, really hate that it kind of went out of fashion to make like transparent technology. All the Nintendo consoles with transparent casings were so cool. And I get it. Like maybe they just don't want to anymore. It doesn't slay, but I think it still slays.
Absolutely.
I do.
Me too. I'm glad it's coming back as well. I want to see some like the N64, the like plastic tinged transparent controllers. I want that to come back. I'm done with like black with a bit of red, you know?
Yeah.
Or black with a bit of grey.
Yeah, or grey with a little more grey.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the cool thing about the Switch Joy-Con is like I've got the pastel purple and like mint green ones.
Yeah.
So good.
They're so cute. Yeah. They're so cute.
Real vaporwave stuff over there. And yeah, I'm all about it. Bring it back. And that's kind of, you know, this is the era I'm being transported back to thinking about the original Final Fantasy VII. It was a great time.
When it comes to the compilation of Final Fantasy VII. Which ones have you played or taken part in?
I've played the Crisis Core remake, the Crisis Core reunion. I've watched Final Fantasy VII Advent Children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. So as, yeah, like we
said. Fake fan.
Before Crisis, not available in the West. Crisis Core, I didn't have at the time, but I've got around to with the recent release. Not a big mobile gamer.
Yeah.
So that just counts me out of like Ever Crisis.
You're missing out, man. There's some good stuff on your phone.
Okay.
You just got to open it up.
There's more to
phones than making a call.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Can you do? I've heard you can do banking. Is that one of the things you can do?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's mobile banking now. Okay. It's crazy. You can have money in your bank, in your savings, and then you can move it over to your spending account on your phone now.
No, that's crazy talk.
That's the real deal.
What about when you need to write a check to someone?
You're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
Bitches are not doing that anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm kind of bummed out. I feel I never got to write a check.
No, me
and
neither.
I never got to receive a check. And I would have loved that. It feels like a love letter to giving money away.
Yeah. I'll tell you, actually, I have received one check once in my entire life, and it was when I was called up for jury duty when I was 20 years old, and they compensated me, I believe, $25 for one day.
In a check?
And they sent it in a check form. They mailed it to me.
That
and it was
rocks.
I wish I'd kept it, honestly. I just cashed it and got $25, but the memories are worth much more than that.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I am a solid 19 plus 8 years old, and I still to this day have never been called for jury duty, and it really, really bothers me.
Yeah, I feel like – so at the time, I was terrified. I didn't want to be there, and I was not called up into the ballot. So I was in a room with 100 people, stayed there for like 5 hours, didn't have to do it, got sent home. But now, oh, my God, take me back. I want to get in there. Yeah.
I'm a gossip. Like, I'm a messy bitch. Mm. If something is happening, I want to know about it. I want to be a part of it.
I've got opinions as well. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I've got opinions. I always want to be talking my shit. And, like, if I was in a courtroom, major or minor, like, if it was just some stealing, like, a book – don't know why that was the first one I went for.
Yeah. Is that going to court? Is that going all the way to trial? You might get banned from the store. Although you might go to jail, who knows? It depends how you treat the judge.
Well, that's the thing. If the bookshop owner was really litigious.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
You can sue someone for anything you want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you were in court for stealing a book, I think.
Or on the other end of the spectrum.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the other end. Yeah.
Doing a murder.
Yeah, big murder. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, either way, I want to be there.
Yeah, get me in there.
I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I've got valid things to say.
Yeah, that and, like, I also think that my, like, judge of character's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you have the judge of character. I have the putting together unnecessary puzzle pieces.
Yeah. You're like, see, the time and date of you stealing this book, it's, like, not adding up to me.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something that's not... coming together.
You're in a bookshop on a Friday night. I mean, are you a goddamn loser? What's put you in jail for that?
Why aren't you at the club? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
And then case closed.
Case closed. Yeah, put them away for life, honestly.
Yeah, for being a f***ing virgin. Whoa.
Yes. Yeah, don't ever let us in jury duty, clearly.
No, actually, I don't think we should go. But I'd really want to, or even just being called for it. I think, I don't know why I haven't yet. I've done my time. I'm in the books, I think.
Yeah.
I'm registered to vote. I think that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I voted a bunch of times.
It'll happen.
Sometimes
it'll
happen many times in a single election, and they're not going to stop me.
I mean, you might appear in court for a different reason then.
Yeah, I might be the one getting sued.
Mm.
Yeah. Aw. Bummer. Okay, but
yes.
Back on topic. Mm-hmm. The compilation. So
you've done
Crisis Core.
Yeah.
And you've seen Advent Children.
I have, yes.
How was Crisis Core for you? Because that's a prequel, right?
It is. Yeah, it's a prequel. Yeah. It concerns a character that is not really heavily featured in the original FF7, but...
Mm. He's Aerith's ex-boy toy.
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yes, it seems like he's going to play a bigger part in the remake, which, like you said before, is where this story may diverge. It may be commenting on itself. And certainly he is a character that is like a mirror of Cloud in many ways.
It's kind of like how in Kingdom Hearts,
mm-hmm.
there's the fella who's Sora.
Sora, yeah.
And then in Kingdom Hearts, there's also other fella who's Sora, but he's not.
Yeah. It's Shadow the Hedgehog, sort of. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So Zack is Shadow the Hedgehog to Cloud Sonic.
Kind of the reverse. Okay. Yeah, you gotta.
Okay,
I mean, I don't even know at this point. That's why this is such a great convoluted franchise.
Yeah.
So yeah, I played Crisis Core, not at the time, and was like desperate to play it. This was not on the PlayStation 1. This was on, I think, the Vita, maybe the PSP.
Was it on the 2?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Am I wrong? Am I lying?
There is one of these compilation games on the 2. I think that was
Dirge
of
Cerberus. It is PSP, yeah.
Right,
you are so right.
Yeah, I remember it being a mobile one, and I think I did maybe have a Game Boy Color or something, so I wasn't fully, but in terms of your home consoles, I was out. But I did not have the PSP. Which was a shame because I was obsessed with Final Fantasy VII and I did not get this prequel. And it just existed as like kind of something I read about in magazines. I didn't even get the full story. So, yeah.
Sad.
It's very sad.
That's really sad. I'm so sorry you did not have a PSP when you were younger.
It's really contributed to how I've ended up.
I believe that. I believe every word of that, really. Well, I never got to own a PSP, but I did have Cowboy Bebop the movie on UMD Video that I never got to watch via the PSP. I just owned it.
Oh my God. So have you seen the movie in another format?
No.
Oh,
because I kind of
wow.
don't want to. I kind of don't want to. I want to eventually perk up the courage to get myself a PSP and then I want to watch it on that.
That's fair. I fully respect that. That's what I've been doing with Crisis Core. I just eventually, 25 years later, they chucked it on a PlayStation 4. So I had to give it a crack. So I've played that. It's interesting. It's interesting to experience. It's very dated. They haven't remade it in the same way they've made
the
main game. It is a coat of paint. The gameplay is very, very much the same, which weirdly is closer to the full remake in terms of it is like an action game. It is a real-time third-person action game. You're running around swiping your big sword. So, yeah, it was like a curiosity, but I wasn't playing it for enjoyment. More, yeah, to just kind of see what happened in it. And it's weird. There's a bunch of weird guys in it. One of them's called Genesis. One of them's called Angeal, but it's kind of like Angel, but they just put a extra letter in. And it's just like Final Fantasy VII Lite. There's a bad guy and a good guy, but they're on the same team, and then one of them goes bad, and then they're fighting. The end.
Yeah. I can really respect playing a game not for the enjoyment of it, but instead because you feel like you have to.
Hey, I mean, what do I do for a living, Ruby?
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, I'm used to it. But it's kind of the same reason or the same experience I had with Advent Children. This is not a good film. Like, I love anime. I love Japanese films. I love 3D animated films.
You're so brave for saying that out loud.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't at me. I know what I am. But this was a bad one. It's like the voice acting's not great. The storyline is kind of extraneous. Like it's just a bit of a cash grab, I think.
How is it related?
It is a sequel. So it is a weird sequel. I guess it's canon because, like you say, it's part of this official compilation thing.
It's canon. Peep the iPad. Yeah.
Which, like, my attitude to canon is, like, if it's not very good, I don't count it.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not canon because I don't want it to be.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's not one that I would seek out. But, yeah, it's interesting in that it is a sequel taking place in a world that kind of has gone through Armageddon and back, but I don't know. I don't love it. I'm not big on it.
That's fair. I mean, like,
My favorite game of all time.
Have you ever seen any of the other Final Fantasy movies? Because they've made heaps. Like, they made a Final Fantasy 15 movie.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah, yeah. Like Kingsglaive or something.
Yeah. And it had, I think it had like two different actors from Game of Thrones in it.
Oh, nice. Well, it also, because Final Fantasy 15 had such a weird extended development time and like budget issues and stuff, that movie literally filled in some of the plot that was not in the game. Like it was bizarre and like, hey, innovative media, I guess, but also you buy a game, you want to get the whole story.
Oh, yeah. Like I was talking about it with Garrett in our bonus episode where it was supposed to be about Final Fantasy and then it ended up not being about Final Fantasy. It was, in fact, about Metal Gear Solid. But Final Fantasy, to me, feels so much like Square Enix assigning homework.
Mm.
And I don't want to do my homework when I'm gaming.
Well, I just don't do it is my advice.
Exactly.
Like I watched that the Final Fantasy 15 movie because I felt an obligation to, but honestly, you could have ignored, and I did ignore most of the story in that game and focus on like the four lovely boys cooking dinner for each other. That was the true core of that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As much as I played of it, and I didn't play a lot, but I did play some. And my experience of it was driving around with my boys, eating food with my boys, taking pictures with my boys.
Oh, yeah, the pictures. Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, that game actually rocked.
Yeah, that was sick.
It's just all about the beauty and importance of male friendship. And I did not finish it and did not get far. So that's like all I'm going to take out of it. And that's it for me.
That's honestly the main, that is the main positive. And it's really positive.
Yeah, which is nice. And so, because of course we're not f***ing talking about Final Fantasy. We are not talking about the rest of Final Fantasy.
No.
We're talking about Final Fantasy VII. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the compilation,
there's
like a lot of it is mobile games, which is crazy to me that they had so much faith in mobile games because I don't think many other studios did. Like Nintendo didn't really get into mobile gaming until, you know, iPhones.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what were those initial ones? Like Mario Kart Tour?
And like Mario Kart Run?
Yeah.
Sorry, Super Mario Run.
Super Mario Run, yeah.
Pokemon Go, which was technically, you know, Niantic and the Pokemon Company. But and then there was Pikmin Bloom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
That's right. But, and Pokemon Sleep. But that, again, this is all in the past, like, what, 5 years or so? Like, this is super, super
very
recent.
Very recent.
I think that because bringing up Nintendo is maybe an exception to the rule, because Squaresoft and Final Fantasy is so incredibly Japanese, the mobile gaming market in Japan is massive. Mm. It's like ridiculously huge. And if you can take advantage of a property that's already popular in a mobile version, you're going to just rake in cash hand over fist. Like, it's so I feel like that's why they've done it, and it seems to have been successful. Like, the that Battle Royale one that came out recently has done fine. Like, maybe those earlier ones, like 2000s, 2010s, weren't as big, but now it seems to just be like a massive, massive cash cow.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, there's Before Crisis, and there's Final Fantasy VII Snowboarding, and the G Bike one. And the first Soldier, and then Ever Crisis.
Yes,
so that's five, and that's just Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
as well, there's like Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition, and that's like Final Fantasy XV, but they've kind of condensed it down so it's mobile form.
Yeah,
so you're still hanging out with your boys, but you're little boys.
They're little boys. They're chibi boys.
Cute little boys all hanging out, eating, taking pictures, driving. God. Little boys should not be allowed to drive, and yet they do, because in video games you can do anything.
Yeah, well, it's a little car as well, so maybe, you know, that makes it okay.
It's fine.
But yeah, no, so of those five, yeah, I've not given them a go. They've not come across my desk. Some of them because they can't, you know, border control won't let them. But then, yeah, there's like a billion other ones. Doge of Cerberus was the PS2 one, which you could have played if you wanted to.
But you didn't have to.
Nah.
And you probably didn't want to.
No. That was sort of, I think, again, I'm like looking on from outside, my nose pressed up against the glass as people say it's bad, which is like such an early moment for me of being like, wait, but if one thing's good and then something related to it, that surely that it also has to be good.
Oh.
Well, they would have put the same amount of effort in, right? Like, what's going on here? And it really broke the illusion of people like caring about everything equally.
Oh no. I think for me that was, and I got to that feeling very late, because I don't know, I was still in this mindset of like every game I played was good.
Yeah.
For like a lot of my life was like every game I'm playing is good. Even the ones I didn't finish or didn't play much of, I was like, I really enjoyed my time with that. That was great. And then looking back, they weren't that great. Or I just had very good taste and was very selective.
Mm.
But I think the first time that kind of feeling kind of hit me was playing BioShock Infinite.
Oh, yeah.
And I still am a huge BioShock 2 head, very specifically. I love BioShock 1, but BioShock 2, for me, that for me was like really like coming to when it came to enjoying video games. I was like, man, this is a whole new experience. I get to be a big fucking guy.
Mm.
This rocks. Mm-hmm. And BioShock Infinite, I played and was like, huh? This isn't right. What's happening right now?
Yeah, all the things are the same as the first one, but it just looks different.
It's just light, and but it's actually also not good to me. And it was even worse because I was surrounded by people being like, this game is for geniuses and this game is the best game.
Yeah, I remember. And I liked it. I don't like it as much as the first one, but I liked it, and I liked it at the time. And I remember it being, like a critical darling, and just people, everyone that I knew that played it liked it. And then eventually people came around to the Ruby Inner's view of like, oh, actually, no, it's just a reskinned version of the first one and it doesn't make sense.
It feels good being at the forefront of the right opinion. Let me tell you, I was thinking what everyone was thinking years earlier. Funny that. I think it came from being a BioShock 2 tragic, honestly. I think because a lot of people really didn't like BioShock 2, which I can understand if you played BioShock 1 first. And I think what gave me the opinion that I had was the fact that I played BioShock 2 first. And because in my mind, I was like, if I play the second one first, the one that, you know, probably has better graphics and plays better, then I'm going to go into the first one as if I'm playing a prequel. And it's fine. Yeah. And it's legal. And I've done that with video games so many times. Like I played Portal 2 first and then I played Portal 1.
Right,
it's like playing a prequel. And if you've just got that like alpha gamer mindset,
mm-hmm.
then you can do anything.
You can't lose. You know? Yeah.
You can't lose. Yeah. I never lose. And it feels so good. But yeah, Dirge of Cerberus was doo-doo ass. Like,
which
it was,
like
it was the shooty one.
The title sucks as well. It's like the Irma Gerd Gerst Bumps girl. Like it is so...
yeah, it's like Dirge of Cerberus.
Dirge of Cerberus.
It feels yucky to say.
It's horrible. I don't want to say it again. Please don't make me.
Say it again.
Dirge of Cerberus.
Yuck.
Yeah, it was just like a shitty third-person shooter, which like there weren't even like you had to be a fantastic and specialized games developer to make a good third-person shooter at that time, yeah. Full stop. And this was not. This was someone going like, oh, we got to squeeze some more money out of Final Fantasy VII. And I think, yeah, even that was my recognition of like, sometimes it's a cynical money grab.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah, like and it's to me, Dirge of Cerberus felt like
so bad.
It's just yucky.
It's horrible.
And like look, in my opinion, I feel like as well looking at the compilation, when it comes to names, they're beautiful, but they're long. They are long, yeah. Long. They're mouthfuls. Like Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate, huh?
Yeah, it's stupid.
It gets to a point where you get to the end of that name and you're like, I feel like I said more words than I needed to.
I forgot where I started. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What game am I playing?
What's the Integrate 2? Is it an intermission? What's happening? Yeah.
Yeah, Gatorade? I don't know. I don't know what happened. But with Dirge of Cerberus, shitty name, to me it felt like the Shadow the Hedgehog, like the game Shadow the Hedgehog of Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2. And I consider the Sonic Adventure to be Final Fantasy VII and Sonic Adventure 2 to be Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII. That's what's happening in my mind palace right now.
And it makes total sense. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is. Because like, so here's the crazy thing. I don't know if this came up in the research. The character Vincent, who is the protagonist of Dirge of Cerberus, is not a required character in Final Fantasy VII. He is an optional party member that you had to basically have a walkthrough to know he existed, let alone find and add him to your party. So this guy who is like you really had to work. I cannot emphasize enough. Like you had to be basically doing cheats to add him to your party. He gets his own game and it's bad. Who could have seen that coming?
Oh, who'd have thunk it? Well, I think it's interesting to make an entire entry based on a guy that you might miss.
It's just, it's crazy. Which they like a lot of their games have crazy aspects to them. Like you can't rule out craziness in specifically JRPG development. Okay, it is an integral part of the process, but I guess sometimes you miss.
Can't all be hits.
They cannot all be winners. Yeah.
Do you feel like as a Final Fantasy VII fan, your knowledge or experience of the series is potentially hindered by the fact that you'll never be able to experience the Final Fantasy VII VR roller coaster experience of 2018 at Universal Studios Japan?
Yeah, honestly, I am. Yeah, it cuts me deep. I was in Japan, I think, the previous year.
No way.
And maybe even the following year. No, I was somewhere else then. And I'm going back to Universal Studios, but it's not there anymore, I believe.
Yeah.
That may be where Super Nintendo World is now. But yeah, it's really sad. It's really upsetting.
I think it was only there for like a few months as well.
That's crazy.
It's heartbreaking. Well, you know what? If you do feel like there's kind of like an emptiness in your soul from that, I know for a fact that a lot of arcades have the Rabbids Coaster VR experience, which I have to assume would be a very similar experience.
Yeah, I think
so. You could always go and do that.
Okay. That's a really good suggestion. And I think you're completely right. Yeah. Yeah,
thank you. I'm going to do Thank that. You for the validation. Thank you. I really appreciate it. So you've also played the demo for the second one in the remake series. That's Rebirth.
Yes, I played the demo. Well, the first demo. Apparently, there's a second demo coming out in like a week's time, which is fantastic. But yes, I've played the one that's come out. It is a specific section that it's very easy to lift out. It's a flashback, basically. It's in the original game. And if you play this demo, then apparently once you get up to it in the game, the full game, when that's out, you can just go, I've played this, I'm going to skip it. So it's literally, it's that sort of like interchangeable, like jigsaw puzzle PC. And it's fucking sick.
Yeah.
It's so good. It doesn't diverge from that original story that I can tell. In the ways that the remake did in very overt ways. This appears to be a straight retelling, but in beautiful 4K. It looks absolutely stunning. The design of this series, which in the old days was, relegated to illustrations and like the matte paintings and backgrounds in the game were really, really cool. Obviously, it was that, fixed matte background moving the polygonal character around it. So you got that art style there. But yeah, seeing these like crazy concept art illustrations turned into high definition 4K gaming is just, it's so cool. Like I am not one for nostalgia, generally speaking. This is my only outlet that I allow myself to just get a full nostalgia on. And it just, it looks so sick.
And Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has apparently fallen victim to the yellow paint disease. What was your experience with this?
I was really, I found it beneficial for when I was climbing up the cliff because I knew where to go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't have a problem with this. I did see this. I did see this as a thing, a trending thing today. And like, I don't fucking care. It's still satisfying to climb up a mountainside even though there's yellow paint. And also, it's all yellow paint, okay?
Yeah.
It's a video game that is designed to funnel you in certain directions and to make the experience easy enough while still giving you a challenge. The yellow paint is there all the time. It's just invisible. So, get over it.
I think it's this really interesting thing where, and you hear over and over people saying immersion breaking.
Right.
And anytime I see that phrase, it kind of, I don't know, it's like a sleeper agent phrase in me. Because it's just like, I get violent. It's just like video games aren't real.
Yeah.
If you're so immersed that like that stops you from enjoying it, maybe take a step back and go, this video game is not real.
Mm.
These people aren't real. That cliff isn't real. Damn, that paint is not even real.
Yeah.
This shouldn't matter so much to people.
It's odd that the people who seem to take such issue in immersion breaking in fake video games, then send death threats to the real developers as if they're not real people. Like they're confused. They don't value the right things, I think.
Yeah, it's such an interesting perspective. It's funny how yellow paint isn't real, but kill yourself is. That is a real thing that you say to someone.
Yeah, and it makes them feel really, really bad.
They hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of my least favorite things to hear said. Yeah, no, I don't care. And like I said, I feel like, there are, if you even want to engage with those critics on their level, the yellow paint is there in other ways. In Breath of the Wild, the visual design of the landscape was pointing you in certain directions. You just didn't know it because it was more subtle. Like, and then there's, of course, the accessibility issue of like, some people might need that extra splash of color to guide them on their way. And it is not a problem. And it's also in the demo, it's like literally, like in a climbing section where there's actually only one way to go anyway. It's not intrusive in a way that would be fixed if it was just removed. So, a bunch of stupid morons.
At the end of the day, everyone is dumb but us.
Correct.
Ben, thank you so, so much for taking the time to chat with me today. How can we find out about all your stuff?
Filthy Casuals is a gaming podcast that I've been doing for a hell of a long time now with fellow comedians Adam Knox and Tommy Dasilo. So you can find that at filthycasuals.com.au. If you're in Melbourne, we're doing 3 live shows during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival as well. So tickets are available now. You can get those on filthycasuals.com.au. It'll be fun guests, silly games and segments. People from the world of television and radio that you would know.
Whoa.
Both the listener and Ruby would know.
Whoa!
so that'll be fun. We'd love some people to come along. We're generally just a bunch of silly guys doing funny jokes about games.
Beautiful. Thanks again for joining me to chat.
Thank you, Ruby. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Oh, stop. And a big thank you to you for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, consider supporting Back Pocket over on Patreon. If you support us at the silver tier and above, you can get access to our bonus episodes. In this week's bonus episode, if you liked this conversation, we're having an extended chat about Final Fantasy.
I'm realizing as well, there's no continuity between all the Final Fantasy games. So
make it work. Okay. Figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I can name them in order. That's quite easy.
Yeah. That'd be so impressive. And hey, if you really like what you're hearing, why not give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're using? Better yet, why not give us a nice little review? You can also find us on Twitch, where we've got our main live show every Thursday from 7 p.m. and on TikTok, where we're constantly posting very good stuff for you to cast your big, beautiful eyes on. And then there's the socials, like Twitter and Threads and whatever, and you're also welcome to get around those. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in, and as the milked out Final Fantasy VII cow with the world's most tortured udders would say, moo!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.